hastily assembled by magical elves in an enchanted tree, this is Actually Comics for January something or other of 2000 and something else. Good evening, Bob. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great as well. Things are pretty good. And we've got some fun comic books to talk about tonight. And I don't know if you saw this behind me. I was just looking through a pile of books. You see this sitting on my desk?
I can see it, but it's on my phone, so it's real small.
It's like,
oh no,
oh, look at that. What was that doing in a box?
Like, holy shit.
It's like, oh, First Silver Surfer just sitting in a fucking box somewhere.
Oh,
like
man.
Fantastic Four 49. I don't know what is going on in this place. I don't know what I've put where. Like, that is what you can pull out of a box in this store sometimes in the basement.
But that's really great. In a time when you, you know, could use a little extra money, you'd be like, hey, look at this. I got this.
I mean, it is destroyed. It's like back when I put, probably back when I put this in a box, one of these was worth like $15 in a like 1.5. And now it's like a $300 book as a 1.5. So
that's
cool.
Someone will buy it. I buy garbage comics that aren't even
so cool.
a tenth as collectible as
it was awesome. And worse than that, I'm supposed to be reading new books tonight, and then I find this and I'm like, well, I've never really actually read an actual copy of this before. Fuck, I gotta read this. And so I sat down and I read it cover to cover, and there are so many insane panels in it. It is the Also, by the end of it, there's one panel where he draws Uatu as though he has gained like 1,000 pounds. He's like so pudgy. It's great.
Oh, man.
It's absolutely amazing. He looks like a giant kingpin.
Did you take any photos?
I will absolutely take some photos of some of these panels because it's awesome, and it's really cool to be reading it in its real format. So. I had fun.
Right. And I mean, that's a thing that's totally true of like, if you're taking photos of comics, like the old original printings, like they make really good photos. Yeah. Like
I'll throw some of those up on the Instagram, actually Instagram.
Sick.
So let's talk about some of the stuff. There's not a ton of stuff this week. I think we're going to have some short weeks for a little while here. I think everybody's kind of toning down what they're doing. I mean, definitely it looks like Future State is condensed, like they had planned on doing, you know, 50 books, and they were like, how about we do 20 books and just jam all of those books together into other books? Because like this Superman that came out this week, that's clearly three comics, you know, that is not one comic book. That is a like 70 page whatever it is.
There was the Wonder Woman was kind of like that a little bit
Wonder
too,
and awesome.
And also Batman was like that.
I gotta tell you,
it was weird because it was.
Spoiler alert! I think that was my favorite book of the week.
Which one?
Immortal Wonder Woman.
I liked it. It
that
was not my
took
book
me
of the
by
week,
took me
I,
by surprise.
Yeah, I did like it. It's also like for speculation's sake. I mean, it's certainly not like technically the first appearance of that character, but it's the first appearance of like that. There was actually several kind of key like Future State books. We'll talk about them. I know I have you might be surprised by the ones that I thought were really really good.
I might be, especially if one of them was Nightwing, but we'll keep going.
No spoilers.
Abbott 1973 number one. This is the second mini series of Abbott from Boom Studios.
Really good.
Cool.
Really good. I loved the first series. This one is really cool. But also, if you didn't read the first series, there is a 2-page summary of the first series at the beginning
That's
of
so
this
helpful.
That does not affect the page count at all.
That's great.
So 100% new reader friendly, really cool art. It's basically just so it's kind of, I think I remember when we were talking about the old series, me talking about it like kind of Kolchak a little bit. Her name is, I'm trying to remember her first name, Elena Abbott, and she's a reporter in Detroit. This series is 1973. I think the other one was like 71 or something, 72. She is a reporter, but she also has kind of mystical powers in this kind of war of light versus darkness that takes place in early 1970s Detroit.
Awesome.
To summarize.
Nice.
Very good.
Avengers 41 is out this week. That was that was interesting. So we're kind of getting a battle royale kind of thing going on where the Phoenix Force is trying to choose its host. And so everybody's beating the crap out of everybody else. And spoiler alert, it wants to be with Black Panther. But everybody's just kind of fighting. He's not necessarily into the idea because, you know, it turns people into monsters. And the last time somebody was possessed by the Phoenix Force, they destroyed Wakanda. So, you know, he's not so stoked about it.
There's also that whole planetary genocide thing that the Phoenix is responsible for. So I don't understand why anyone would want to host that power. But, you know, it's a cool idea. You get to see all these different Phoenixes.
Yes. And there's some interesting characters that are being brought in. There's some deep dives that I have not seen in a comic in a long time. So I was kind of stoked to see that.
Nice.
Barbalian Red Planet number 3 is out.
I would just say I think it's good. Black Hammer tie-in.
Perfect. I would say Black Panther. Oh, nope, sorry. That is Batman Catwoman number 2 that is out. I don't know.
I didn't read it.
I actually dug the first one. I don't know. I thought it was good. I did not check this one out, but I thought the first one was great.
I feel like anyone that liked Tom King's Batman is going to want to read this series through to the completion.
And okay, you say that, but I didn't like Tom King's Batman, and I thought this was great. Like, I thought this was superior to what he was doing.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm crazy, but...
Well, that's cool. I mean, it looks great. I love Clay Mann's art on it, and I do think Tom King is, like, capable of writing a good thing. I just, like... With Future State, I'm all in for Future State.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of was like, I don't really have time for this
thing
that feels like it's tying into a comic that already came out.
Yeah. Black Cat number 2 is a King in Black tie-in. They're fine. I'm not sold. I will say that I'm getting really into King in Black right now, though. So.
Oh, yeah.
That said, like, it makes me want to read the tie-ins. Because the core story is getting awesome. So,
yeah.
I mean, it has been awesome from the first, but like it's just this last issue was really good. So we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Yeah. I think the only thing I would add to that is in the regular King in Black, it kind of like will in classic kind of crossover form, it'll just like mention the storylines that happened in the, so, like, you know, you don't have to read them. They'll just kind of, like, mention this and that. I feel you on that. I think there's been some good tie-ins.
Cable number 7 is out. I didn't read it, but Cable's got a baby again. Oh, great. Cable's carrying around a baby.
We know how that goes.
We've got, I guess this is just a back-in-stock thing. We've got Challengers of the Unknown, the Kirby stuff back in stock.
That is a fantastic trade. I own that. I'm pretty sure I got it over the pandemic.
Yep.
Like the early pandemic.
I believe so. I believe you purchased it from us back in the old back when this horror story was just getting started. Let's see.
It's worth it. Totally worth it. Great.
Totally. Chew trade paperback. That is Chew, CHU Chew, the new series. Trade paperback, the first one is out now, and that is a $9.99, which is so if you want to get into this, read it. It's great. It is as good as everything else that was in Chew, so totally worth it. Conan Chronicles Epic Collection, the Song of Belit, is out, and there is a new book from Matt Kint called Crimson Flower. Tell us about this.
Okay. Did you read this?
I did not.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I can.
It looked a little intense for me for the time that I had, considering I was I was slacking off and reading the wrong stuff tonight.
Well, I read it very fast, so...
That seems like a bad idea for a Matt Kint book.
Definitely. But I did read it completely.
Okay.
And it is wild.
Okay.
It's like if the art is like R. Crumb almost. Like okay. just very like distorted and kind of like 70s underground, like Mary, like Rick Geary or someone like that. But it's a girl who her father is murdered and she is obsessed with Slavic fairy tales or folklore.
Yes.
And also might be schizophrenic.
Yep.
I hesitate with the schizophrenic thing. They mention it in the comic. I just like there's a lot of like what is perception, and then the art really doesn't, because the art always feels like you're tripping on acid. Like even in the regular moments, it's like it's kind of narrative. I want to sound smarter than I am when I'm describing it. The storyline is basically she becomes a detective and is pursuing her father's killer. So like there's that angle and it's very clear.
But then the government starts weaponizing folktales somehow is what I'm led to believe from the solicit.
It's the Russian government that's like hiring killers to do shit. But then also like this, she's basically just like using these folktales to inform her policing in a way that I'm not really sure. Like, I think I need more of the story in order to really get it. But like, it's also like the allegory of like the folktale. Like she like talks about a folktale about a miner, a kid that it has to go down a mine with a torch. And then it like, it turns out that the reason he had to was he was just like, they sent him down there to find out if there was a gas leak or something like that. But it became this folktale and, I don't know. It was trippy.
That sounds like a Russian folktale to me.
Yeah. it was, I enjoyed it in terms of just, but it was, it definitely took some, like, if you don't want to like puzzle over your comic in any way and you want something that's just like totally straightforward, this might not be the one for you.
This is not going to be the one for you.
But if you are someone who likes to like a little bit of more to chew on and like think about, it definitely is for you. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It looks a lot less Matt Kent than normal. It's like, it's that same, it's not that same thing that he's been doing for a while. It's like he took a real hard left somewhere and did something like a little on the different side, which I'm kind of into.
Yeah. And the art is like totally unlike anything that like I've seen associated with like him. It's got a definite, like, it's cool. You know, it was appealing to me visually and, I'm curious to see if where it goes.
Cool. Deceased Dead Planet, number 7 of 7, finally.
Did you read it?
I did not.
It might be my favorite comic of the week. It's
that
really
series
good.
Is so fucking good. It's so good.
Really good.
It's frustratingly good. It's like trying to convince people. It's like when Hickman's Fantastic Four was the best book in forever, like, and I wanted everyone to read it. It's like, you can't convince people to read the Fantastic Four. It's so hard. It's like that.
Weird.
It's like saying, hey, everybody, this zombie take on the DC Universe is a great story. People say, I don't believe you. It sounds like a dumb cash grab that is like 20 years too late. And it's like, nope. It's not.
Yeah, it's 100%
it is
not.
So much better than you think it is. And God damn it, when it comes out, there's a beautiful hardcover coming out of this very soon. You should buy it. There's also one of the last series, and it's also phenomenal. The whole goddamn thing was great. I can't emphasize how awesome this series is enough.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it has like a classic, like, I would say even like worthy of like the great Hellblazer runs, like really good Hellblazer, like if I understand that like a lot of people don't like Constantine with superheroes, you know, or whatever, but like in this instance, it like, it totally works. Like there's this shit where he basically like steals every magic character's shit and uses it to fight a giant demon and then like pulls a like Constantine, like Constantine, whatever. Like it's really good. it at this point is completely not zombies at all. Yeah. Like there are none. Like, I mean, they're in it, but it's just like, it's like a subplot at that right. point. Like, it's like basically like this is post zombie apocalypse DC with the sons and daughters of the Justice League and the kind of inheritors of the mantles or whatever. But like, you have some real left turn shit, like Cassandra Cain becoming a Shazam and like all nice. Kinds of cool stuff that awesome. Like is great. And I loved this issue. It was a great finale. And it was also like, it put a cap on it. It's like, yeah.
That's great.
It's not like they could do another one, but like they could also not.
Right.
And it would work just fine.
Awesome. Cool. I'm into it.
Loved it. Loved
it. And we got Doctor Who comics number 3. We've got, oh, that's just a, just brought that back. Fishkill number 3 is out. And
I forgot to video that when I like, I missed that entire shelf that had Fishkill on it.
Well, Catwoman number 1, did you miss that? Did you read that by any chance?
The Future State Catwoman?
Yeah.
I did read it, and it was actually really, really good.
Cool.
It was one of the two, Future State, that was my favorite of this week. Yeah, I really liked it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. It's so the artist is Otto Schmidt, who is fantastic.
Oh, I do like Otto Schmidt.
And Ram V is the writer.
I forgot about that. Okay,
there's a new character introduced, Cheshire Cat, who I actually really liked, kind of like a sidekick kind of character. And it's just like, it is literally like what I want from any, like as a fan of like the Darwyn Cook kind of Catwoman stories,
Okay.
I thought it was really good. And it worked within the whole, like the costume design has like really cool, like kind of hidden functionality in it. And it also has, Onomatopoeia, that guy from the Kevin Smith Batman.
Remember him? Oh, from Kevin Smith Green Arrow. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The guy that like talks in yes. sound balloons.
Bang.
Yeah, yeah. And it has a good like kind of twist ending. The thing that I'm learning about Future State at this point is that it is not linear at all.
Right.
So like what's going on in Nightwing or Catwoman or Batman or whatever, it's not happening. It's not like they're saying like, here's this one set right. point in the future and we're telling stories from that. It's just like a hodgepodge of shit.
But sometimes they're crossing over. Isn't Nightwing
definitely
Nightwing and Batman, next Batman are part of the same universe.
That is correct.
Universe. Okay.
Correct.
So we are now at Wonder Woman. Immortal Wonder Woman number 1 Future State.
It's very good.
It was so good. I sometimes forget what an incredible artist Jen Bartel is, and I am just absolutely blown away by the quality of this book from beginning to end. It's two stories, and I thought both of them were like, they were two of the best Wonder Woman things I've read in forever. And I'm not a huge Wonder Woman fan usually, and this was just phenomenal.
Yeah, I really like the huge focus that Wonder Woman is getting at DC right now, because it's like you've always had this, like, it's Superman and Batman, Superman and Batman, Superman and Batman. It's like, actually, it's like Wonder Woman is like as cool, if not, you know, like whatever. It's just like, it's cool because it's also like Wonder Woman has like kind of an untapped quality because it's been sort of like ignored stupidly for a really long time, the concept.
No, I agree.
And I think, yeah, this is Becky Cloonan writing it too. And it's a very like future mythology kind of
and
story.
Some
like
shit goes down that's really cool. Yeah. There's some new Genesis stuff going on. There's some
there is.
There's a big new Genesis stuff going on. But you know, it's one of those like big crazy superhero DC stories where everything's coming to an end and all that. But there's also some great down to earth shit that goes on that is Wonder Woman's interactions on Earth. I do very much want to know what the fuck is going on here because she's defending Swamp Thing because something's happening and it's like the end of the world is coming because they need to keep Swamp Thing from dying. If the green dies, then it's all over.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's like this one is not this one is set. Actually, it's kind of weird. It says impossibly long ago in the distant future. So it's kind of just like, wait, it's in the past and the future. But it's definitely at a different time period than all of the other future states. It feels completely disconnected from the other future state stuff.
But is it the beginning of the Swamp Thing story?
Maybe. I mean, it easily could be. There's something going on with it that's very interesting. And you are right about the art. It is absolutely gorgeous.
And then
coloring is also really good, too.
Oh, coloring's great, too. And the backup story is the return of... It's not the modern return. She's been in something else. I remember Nubia came back for some other story within the last 10 years.
They've had version different like kind of versions of her, but this is like it feels
they've
like
never had her as Wonder Woman before.
No.
And in this is like, she is Wonder Woman.
Right. And this feels like it's more connected with the like kind of mainstream future state storyline kind of idea. Like
I have no idea what part this connects to. This felt like more of a this was very strange because there's a real Constantine kind of feel to her whole story. She basically goes, there's a lot of magic and there's like, she goes to visit this woman who's like hanging out in the back of a club and she's like, I've got wards everywhere and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, so she's kind of a Papa Midnight kind of character, but she's like,
yeah, but it's like her aunt.
It's her aunt. Yeah. So it's cool. Very into it. Again, like I said, I'm shocked that I liked both stories, but definitely two of my favorite things I read this week.
Yeah, I feel like with the end of Death Metal too, like the continuation of the main line Wonder Woman, her storyline, like might make sense going into this kind of like proto-mythological kind of allegory kind of story. So like it totally worked for me. I liked it.
Yep, me too. Nightwing, Future State.
You said it earlier. I really liked Nightwing. It was really good. It was so good. Did you read it?
I did.
You didn't like
it? I didn't dislike it. It's weird. I don't know. Maybe something snapped in my head because I was like, this is too violent. And I'm like,
oh, interesting. Me?
I was like, there was this scene where basically somebody talks shit to Dick Grayson about Batman, so he breaks their leg. And I was like, huh. That's a...
Yeah, he breaks the guy's femur.
Like, nice. Really? Like,
yeah. I don't know.
That's where
you're
going
with
that.
I mean, I think that's kind of like what's going on. Like, they're all kind of fugitives or whatever, but it's like...
Right. Everybody's at the end of their rope. Sure.
This is the take on Nightwing that I want, where, like, you got in the Batman and Robin, the Grant Morrison, where he became Batman and he was like competent and badass. Like,
right. Absolutely.
I want that and from like the character. I really liked that whole early scene in it where it kind of fleshes out that whole magistrate bullshit that's going on in Gotham in a way that the Batman, although I shouldn't say the next Batman of this week did kind of flesh that out as well. A little bit more, I thought Nightwing was a very strong look, and I didn't expect a lot out of it.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. It was just that one little part that I was like, ah, geez.
Yeah, it was a little much.
There's a little thing. I don't know, especially just with the atmosphere that's going on and this whole like out of control vigilante thing. It's like, oh, it just felt a little weird and tone deaf. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Either way, the one thing that I am excited about is I don't want to give away the whole story here, but there's going to be a big fucking... He's like holed up in Arkham like it's his bat cave.
Yeah.
And he has the whole place booby-trapped, and he's going to do a big standoff. I mean, come on. If you don't want to read that, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. It's going to be amazing. So
it's definitely cool. And also it's him and the next Batman doing a standoff at Arkham with all these shitty magistrate cops like coming in
fun.
And they're pieces of shit and they're going to fucking have a big fight. So it'll be fun.
So tell me what you thought of Future State Shazam.
So like I said before, I'm all in for Future State. So I got it. Like, even though I do not like Shazam, It was much, as I think is constantly my refrain of Future State, it was much better than I thought it would be.
There you go.
It's really more of a Teen Titans comic, although it's the Teen Titans kind of set up. Remember that when the Teen Titans one came out, I think it was last week or the week before, whatever it was, it set up this kind of like timeline where like certain shit goes down and like there's like the right now and the past or whatever. And there was, they mentioned this kind of shit with Shazam. This is like fleshing out like that aspect of it. And so it's basically like he's part of a Justice League team that is also like a Teen Titans team. And it's like Vixen and like the Question, but it's not Vic Sage. It's like a different version of the Question and like a couple other characters. And like they're basically just like something's up with Shazam. And then you find out like kind of what it is. And it's kind of fucked up and it involves hell. But I don't want to give away too much beyond that. Other than I would just say it was much stronger than I thought it would be.
Cool. Cool. So Superman, Worlds of War from Future State. This
was much stronger than I thought it would be.
Sure. Sure. You know what? I'm going to actually disagree with you. I think it was much weaker than I expected it to be.
Oh.
I was actually annoyed by this book because I came into it and I was like, great Gladiator Superman. I can't wait to read a nice long ass Gladiator Superman story.
What did I get?
Three fucking pages, you know? And it's like, don't worry, next issue we'll have some more. And it's like, fuck you. Come on. Don't put that on the cover.
Yeah.
Then put whatever other seven stories were in this on the cover. Granted, they were all good. This is absolutely a great book. I absolutely enjoyed it. But it definitely did not deliver what it was promising. I was disappointed in the lack of, you know, barbarian Superman beating the crap out of people.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that it was mistitled. If I would 100% agree that like calling it a Superman book is kind of bullshit.
It's like a Midnighter book with some Superman in it.
Yeah, and the Midnighter story ruled. It was good. The Mr. Miracle story was really good,
like,
and it
too.
Actually delivered a little bit of the, like, Mr. Miracle is now on the war world where Superman is. Then this Midnighter story, Midnighter is also, like, they're all on this planet. I thought the thing that I would mention is the first appearance of a new Black Racer.
Yeah.
And I liked the new Black Racer. I thought that story was pretty cool, just like for a first appearance of like, the thing I like about Future State is the idea of these like newer things.
Yeah.
I'm less interested in like what Nightwing is doing as much as I am interested in that than I am about like new Wonder Woman, you know,
yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
And I'm also like, I'm more interested in new Wonder Woman than I am like, Superman's kid being Superman, like we've had Superman's Superman, like in a lot of different comics. So like, you know, I like the new concepts. So the new Black Racer, it's cool.
Yeah.
Like clearly she's like in some way like linked to the traditional New Gods Black Racer, but she's not like a spirit of death. She's more of like a Han Solo kind of like space pilot.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by that. I'm excited about the idea that they're just getting rid of the Black Racer as a concept entirely, because
yeah.
as much as like, it's just DC, you can only have so many characters that are black who have black in their name, and you need to, let's just get over it. Let's just move past that and have some black characters who are just named Bill. Hey, it's Bill.
Yeah.
You know, just
yeah.
Bill. He happens to be black. It's cool. He doesn't have to be
or
black
like
Bill.
Mr. You know? Miracle, you know?
Well, exactly. So, you know, that part's always kind of annoying. And also, Death on Skis is hilarious. I mean, granted, I love the idea. It makes me laugh. But just because it makes me laugh doesn't make me think that it's a great idea.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, I agree completely with that. I like the idea of like just these kind of like new space characters. Like there was a new Space Ranger that was in the Justice League Odyssey, and I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
You know, like just like I love having characters that are, you know, I don't know. I just like the new stuff. So
yeah.
I was into that. The Midnighter story was good.
the Midnighter story was like a Judge Dredd story. It was like, it was crazy bloody and weird and like spacey and like mutant-y and like it was awesome.
Yeah. And they, I mean, they're clearly
with big guns on their stomachs that looked like giant Gatling gun dicks.
Oh yeah, that was weird. That was also super weird. They're clearly bringing back the Authority soon.
Yes, very clearly.
Which we'll see. I'm not sure.
I don't know why you would do it, honestly, but you know, if maybe somebody's got a good idea, who knows?
I mean, yeah, I feel like the Authority needs to be not in the DC universe.
I agree.
Like that's the real objection I have to it's their clearly
is to not be in the DC universe, but yeah.
Exactly.
Future State, next to Batman, number two. Tell me of this. I did not read it.
I liked it. I didn't like it as much as the first one because it is the art isn't as good.
Well,
it's still good, you know. I actually spent less time with this than I did with the first issue.
I did love that first issue.
Nick Darrington did the breakdowns on this, so it's got like somewhat of like the pacing of it, but I just didn't love the art style. But that said, I have less to say about it. I thought the backups were a little excessive. This one I really felt you had Batgirls, which is like the two different non-Barbara Gordon Batgirl characters in prison doing stuff, and then the Gotham City Sirens, which honestly that one I was just like, this didn't even need to be in here. Like it wasn't bad, I'm not gonna shit on it, but it's just like you didn't need to put that in there.
Okay.
Like it didn't add anything to the overall mythos. But yeah, I mean, it's cool. I just, like I said, I spent a little bit less time with it than I did with the other stuff that came out this week.
Fair enough. All right. Here's one that I have as a definite contestant in the best book of the week and definitely the weirdest book of the week. I Breathed a Body, number one.
Ah, yes. Holy, I flipped it. I didn't read it. So you got to go.
What an insane book. I mean, it's being pitched as the like solicits and everything. They're saying that it is Hellraiser meets The Social Network, which you don't know that there's a Hellraiser element in this issue. There is probably a supernatural element that you are not seeing quite yet, but there is a lot of disturbing shit in this particular issue. It's clearly a dystopian future that is just kind of a logical extension of our own current one. It's like a Black Mirror kind of universe with a different kind of internet. It's basically if like, oh my God, Logan Paul. Imagine if that douchebag like was running Apple, essentially. Like he was like the forefront of like some massive mega corporation, or Google. Like he was like the face of Google. And then some shit goes down that's absolutely bonkers. And there's a lot of that, like reminding you of all the things that social networking is terrible for. It's definitely got a lot of like kind of like knocking you in the face with some messages that they read in, you know, or that they saw in a documentary. It's like the product is clearly you, and this is the, you know, there's a lot of that shit. And I mean, we know that, but it's also good to be reminded of because it is fucking terrible. And it's great. It is a great book. I'm with one issue, I have no idea where it's going, but I'm really on board because it is well written. It's confusing. There's a technique they're using with the lettering that
was weird.
Feels like maybe they're just doing it randomly, or maybe later on we're gonna know why they did it.
I tried to analyze it from is there some kind of message in here, but no, definitely not.
It makes me wonder if we're gonna either know about it later on and it's going to explain why they're doing the highlighting of certain words, or if later on I'm going to go back and be like, you fucking dumbasses. Really? You just did that as a stylistic thing? You wasted my time thinking about this, and I'm going to be mad at you for the rest of the comic?
I don't know. I didn't really think too much about whether it meant, like, whether it was attempting, like, if it was, so, like, what we're talking about is, like, in the word balloons, there are certain words that are highlighted in color. Like, there's, like, a color highlighted background. And I thought maybe it was, like they were doing it for emphasis.
It really didn't make sense like that.
And then I thought maybe they were doing it to spell some kind of, like, hidden message. And maybe they are.
I don't know. Maybe I just cracked the code or whatever.
There might be a code to it.
Who knows? But it did feel very, very pointless in a lot of ways. But I was like, whatever. I'm sure there's something to it. It's pretty smart otherwise. So I am definitely on board. I'm going to read the next issue 100%. I'm excited to see it. So,
it was, I mean, it was stylistically cool. Like I said, I just put it in the store.
Also, Andy McDonald, great artist.
Yeah, the art was good.
I did not know that Andy McDonald was that good. And I don't know why I guess I didn't pay attention to him. And I was like, I don't think I know who this person is. And then for some reason, I went to his art for sale page. And he had, like, all this shit that I was like, oh, yeah, Rogue Planet and this and this and this and this. I was like, I like his stuff. And it's like, cool. I'd seen it a bunch of times. And I think I'd, like, I don't know, I just kind of glossed over it. But, yeah, he's got a very cool style. Like,
I was not familiar with that.
He's
artist.
Got a bit of a Burnham thing going to him, too, which is fun.
Cool. That's not bad.
That's nothing to shake a stick at. Immortal Hulk, trade paperback, volume 8, Keeper of the Door, is out. Obviously, one of the best superhero comics ever, ever. Good God, if you're not reading it, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Iron Fist, Heart of Dragon.
Did you read it?
Our listing says Heart of Dragon, and I'm like, isn't there a V in there? And there is.
It is actually Heart of the Dragon.
This is, yeah, I did read it, and I think this is definitely filling a niche for somebody.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Like, if you were looking for a traditional Iron Fist, like, it's the best non-fraction, like, when they fixed it. You know, like the Brubaker Fraction, like fixing Iron Fist era, when you were like, holy shit, this is the greatest thing I've ever read. Instead, this is like traditional Iron Fist, but really elevated. So,
definitely. It's like the coolest thing about it is that like Larry Hama wrote it. So it is like.
I didn't even notice that.
It is expertly like the story is like there's nothing missing. It's like scientific in terms of like how it is constructed. And it's weird because it feels like it's a continuation of something else that I haven't read, but at the same token, like I didn't miss, like it's definitely a continuation of.
It feels like it drops you into something that maybe might be revealed later. Is what I felt.
It's a continuation of some of the stuff that Fraction obviously did in the Immortal with like the different worlds, you know.
Also,
I'm really trying to figure out if the zombies in this are supposed to be the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or whether they just kind of look like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's kind of neat, but it's great. And whoever this artist, I think is a new artist, David Wachter. I don't know who this is, but like almost like a... I don't know. It's a cool style for like action and just like kind of traditional superheroes. Taskmaster's in it. And they're basically, it's like they're trying to, someone is stealing the hearts of the various dragons that are the souls of these different worlds. Like that are all established in the previous Iron Fist stuff. But there's some cool like stuff that like, is like so well thought out, like the kung fu battles and stuff,
absolutely.
Like visually mapped and planned, like very, very good.
And I will say that with David Washer doing the artwork, it's probably the Turtles because he did the City at War, and he did like a bunch of the IDW Turtles stuff. He's one of the Turtles artists from that era. Recent IDW.
Yeah, era. Like I'm gonna just hold a panel up for Tristan to look at, but it's like
yes, those are like, the fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yes,
100%. I love it. So if you on the surface, if you want to read a cool comic that has Iron Fist fighting zombie Ninja Turtles, like this might be the one for you. You might never get another chance. Yeah. But I thought it was great.
Yeah, it really is.
The supporting cast. You had Luke Cage. You had like everything you need in an
Iron
Fist.
Who's the dragon?
There's multiple dragons.
Who's the little pet dragon?
Oh, he has like a little pet dragon.
I didn't know about that. I'm excited he has about like that.
He lives in Rand Tower in Manhattan with a small child who for some reason Luke Cage is babysitting for this entire issue. A small dragon, like a Lockheed sized dragon. And then he basically goes with this other character that's kind of like a Yoda-ish kind of like a diminutive,
a real Ranma one half, like anime style old man with a giant backpack character.
He indeed does have a
which
giant backpack.
It reminded me of the old pervert that trains. I think it was in Ranma one half. That's like constantly stealing underwear. Yes.
Yeah, he looks like a perv for sure. He's got like those weird like perv glasses and stuff. But anyway, whatever. That person and this kid and this dragon all live with Iron Fist in Rand Tower. And then he goes into the different mystical worlds and is trying to save the hearts of the various dragons. And Taskmaster is involved in trying to steal the hearts of the various dragons.
What a jerk.
He's a dick.
And I will say this for probably the 5,000th time. You know who doesn't get enough goddamned respect? Larry motherfucking Hama does ever get the respect he deserves, period. And it pisses me off to no end. That motherfucker invented so much of what is awesome in popular culture, and he does not get the credit for it that he deserves. You like a ninja movie? Guess what? You wouldn't have one without fucking Larry Hama. You like G.I. Joe? Guess what? He fucking invented G.I. Joe. Everything you like about that thing is him. And
yeah,
this motherfucker did like one time, like last year, there was one of those G.I. Joe conventions and he shows up and they're like, sorry, there's no room for you. We're going to put you out in the hallway. I was like, burn that place to the fucking ground.
Yeah. Yeah. That is not a G.I. Joe convention.
That whoever you are, I want to set you on fire.
That is the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Made me crazy. So
that is dumb.
Just want to say Wolverine writers, like one of my favorite, the G.I. Joe stuff that he created is brilliant. All of the stuff with the ninja clans that is in that is what popularized that for popular culture and made people want to do all this shit. God damn it. He's awesome. And that's all I'll say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you cannot have a better writer for
an honest to God martial artist who fought in Vietnam. Yeah,
Pretty amazing. This was great. I really did like this Iron Fist comic. It was very it was like scientific.
Yeah,
I think that's the best I can say. It was like just perfectly executed, and I did really like the art. That guy Watcher, who you knew, I didn't know him. I was like, who's this guy? He's new.
Yeah, he's great. Those Turtles artists, man, there are so many of those people who like Santa Luca, and like there's a bunch of these other guys that like they're like making their bones on turtle stuff, but they are like top flight artists.
Cool.
And they just I think they hang around there because everybody loves the Turtles and they're just like, this is what I want to do. It's like the Ben Bishops of the world, where Ben's just like, fuck it, man, Turtles, I love them. I'm glad that I get to work on Turtles. Sure, I could be developing my own projects and making $1 trillion with the film deals, but you know what, these Turtles, they're fucking adorable.
I could also be drawing these Turtles,
but I could also be drawing these Turtles that punch each other in the face and have big knives. Who doesn't love that? And speaking of big knives and punching each other in the face, King in Black number 3.
It's good.
I loved this book. Yep. It was great. I think this whole series is awesome, and I think it's really starting to pay off, and we get the big confrontation between Null and Thor that has been building up since God of Thunder number 2. Amazing. This is, and that's the deal with this, is that it's all coming to a head. If you liked Jason Aaron's Thor run, this is where it's all going. This is where it came from. And if you liked the stuff that he did in Avengers, there's stuff from that. There's stuff from his Thor run. There's stuff from everything. Every single thing he's done has led up to this point, and it's awesome.
Also, there's some just really crazy shit, like Iron Man using Extremis to hack a symbiote, and then using that symbiote that's been hacked to hack a Celestial.
And then play like, Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
That's like two pages of this comic.
Two pages. That's it.
My only thing is just like, I have a really hard time with the real world setting of it. Like when you see like giant monsters like stepping on buildings and stuff, it's kind of just like, I don't know, like that's a lot of people died.
I don't
like it when death is treated as a casual thing, but in this series, I mean, I guess
no, they
like,
do
how,
you,
what else are you gonna
I
do?
Think they have done a lot of very good little disclaimers, like right at the beginning, to kind of make it less like flippant about human death. Because there's a lot of like, we've gotten everyone out of the city, then blah blah blah. You know, like, so
well,
now
also
it's just property
everybody
destruction.
That's still in the city is like a gooey symbiote now. Yep. So like, it's not like they can be really crushed or anything.
True,
so,
they're all gooified.
Yeah, they're all gooey.
They've got magic goo. You can't kill anybody with the magic goo.
Nope.
Legion of Superheroes number 12. I believe that's probably going to be the last one if I had to guess. Because it's a Legion of Superheroes comic, I assume it makes it to 12 issues.
I don't know.
Gets canceled.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. It, honestly, like, it looks great. I just am not interested in it, but like, it looks great.
Yeah,
I love Ryan Sook. Ryan Sook is like one of the best artists working in comics today.
Yep.
So like, the idea that like it's like Bendis and him, and like they're doing cool stuff with the Legion. Like, I don't know. I just don't like the Legion of Superheroes.
The people
you can't make me.
You can't make me. It's tough. Looney Tunes is a comic book. And Maestro, War and Pax, number 1.
Pax.
Like this book a lot. This is a continuation. I think basically they were like, I don't know if Peter David's going to be able to write a whole series, you know, we don't want to do an ongoing blah, blah, blah. How's it going to sell? They're worried about things. So they made these into mini series when in reality, this should have been a long, like one through eternity. This is literally issue 6 of the Maestro story. It's continuing where the other one left off. Strangely, this only seems to be getting better. In my opinion, I'm interested.
I think this
in
one
this
does
era.
Look like, yeah. And also I will say as a casual, you know, like one Maestro miniseries, I'm just kind of like, whatever. But then like when there's another one right after it, it's like, oh, maybe I should be paying attention to this shit. Maybe there's some cool shit going on here. And
it really is.
So I looked at it a little bit more closely than the last series.
It's interesting because it's sort of like that Iron Fist book. It's another one of these guys from a specific time in comics writing like they did back then, but not washed up. It's not a Claremont issue where it's like, you know, it doesn't replicate itself for some reason. You're like, he's writing the X-Men. And it's just like, it's not what I wanted out of it. This is like... this is as good as his original, you know, the, what was that called? The Maestro series from back then.
Future Imperfect.
It's as good as that, but just like it has improved over time and his writing is better, even though it does feel you know, it feels like it's from this time period, like from the 90s. So
yeah,
I'm into it. And yeah, it's money. Miskatonic, number three. You know what? I kind of warmed up to this series. It's got some really, really interesting qualities to it, and it's got some fun stuff. I think that if you're looking for a, you know, a fun period piece detective story set in Lovecraftian times or in the Lovecraftian mythos, you really couldn't go wrong with this one. It's definitely the first issue felt like it was going to be something that was trying too hard. And then as it settled in, it's like, it kind of fell into the Nancy Drew stuff that they were doing with it. And I was like, this I'm into. So yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I feel like this one, like also like maybe, cause I didn't read it. And I'm not like the biggest, Lovecraftian, you know, aficionado. I feel like it got like, maybe like, you were a little harder on it than you would have been.
I think you're right.
Because you are just such a like Lovecraft, like super reader. I might be
a super fan. So I might have been a little annoyed by some of the tropes. And also because my wife is like two levels above that she will talk to me of these sorts of tropes and her annoyances with them, and they've rubbed off on me too. So I think it's
like how I was with the Nancy Drew series, because like my wife is such a Nancy Drew aficionado and I've had like these multiple months of conversations with her about like what Nancy Drew means and like the ideas and the concepts that like kind of go into it. So then when a comic comes out, like I think I was pretty I gave it like a fair amount of credit because it was like kind of true to like, it was clear that whoever had done it had read the books, you know. But but yeah, anyway.
Even the controversial clue in the clock. So many
that
swears.
Clock clue gets them every time.
Let's see. Once in Future, number 15, is out.
Good series.
Great series. Persona 5, the manga, graphic novel, volume 5, is out. Pokemon Sun and Moon, graphic novel, volume 9, is out. We've got, from NECA, the Predator 2 Ultimate Stalker 7-inch scale action figure. Yet again, another awesome Predator figure from NECA. These are... They haven't made a bad one. They're just... They've made over 100 different ones. So it's amazing that they can still pull from stuff. But it's another one of those guys that was on the ship at the end of Part 2. Which, by the way, is the most underrated movie. People do not give enough love to Predator 2. It is a wonderful
movie. Oh, yeah. Is that the one with Danny? That's the Danny Glover one. Radon Chong. Or is there Radon Chong in it? No. Who else is in it?
No. Oh, my God. Who is the... She's someone who has one of those names. She has one of those three-part names, and I cannot remember it.
Oh. Maria Conchita Alonso. Yeah,
you got it. Thank you. Oh, nice. My God. That was going to break me.
I'm so glad I thought of that.
Yeah, I am so glad, too. Yes, Maria Conchita Alonso is the one. And also nice. Bill Paxton and Gary Busey. And like, oh, man. Predator 2. What a great movie. Let's see. Rain Like Hammers, number one. Brendan Graham.
Yeah, this would have been impossible. I didn't have enough time to like really like, you know, like sift through this, but like I thought this was a gorgeous book. This is my favorite Brandon Graham since King City.
Whoa.
Hands down. Oh. I like it way better than I like Multiple Warheads. I don't know. At the end, it's cool. I think there's going to be another issue of this, at least. It might be multiple issues. I'm not sure. But he does like a process thing where it's like two pages of kind of like talking about what went into the comic. Mm. And it was cool. I read it afterwards, obviously, it was like the last two pages. And it was cool to kind of get that sense of, like what he was thinking about, but this feels like ground level. It's kind of Matrixy, maybe in a little
Okay.
bit.
I
Like
mean,
it's
yeah.
this huge kind of future city, and this character is kind of like discovering like things that are going on around, but it's more almost like developing the city. But there's also this weird TV show that I loved the bits with the TV show. He like watches his favorite TV show, and it's kind of like an Inspector Gadget kind of TV show in a weird way. Maybe that's not the best take, but like it's this guy who he at one point like he stumbles upon a dead body, and the dead body has like a death fart, and he's like, oh, what an unpleasant death fart. And then he like takes his nose off and like from his face,
So he is
and like,
Inspector Gadget.
yeah, he's like, and that's what made me think of Inspector Gadget for sure.
Was the
And
death
he's
farts,
like,
obviously.
the death farts, yeah. No, like the nose is like analyzing the smell, whatever. I don't know, it's silly, but like it's cool. It's just really cool. It's like this world building kind of issue. And I do feel like it feels very Matrix-y. Like it's a guy who's like a cog in a huge machine, kind of figuring out what's outside of this giant thing he's a part of. And then like kind of maybe like the artifice of what he thinks he's a part of in the first place.
Cool.
But it's also just like it's just gorgeous Brandon Graham art. I liked it. I really like it's funny because I've bought like the last like I'll buy anything he does. I really like his art style. But this one suckered me in a way, like not suckered me in, that sounds negative. Like
No, I
it
mean,
drew me in a way that
he
some
is definitely like the most Moebius you're gonna get in this era.
yeah
He
he's nichey for sure, like not Nietzsche but like nichey.
Nishi.
Yeah, it's cool. If you liked King City, I would definitely recommend this series. I obviously, there's going to be at least another issue. I don't know how many issues there will be, but I thought it was cool.
Cool. Rorschach, number 4 of 12 is out.
Rorschach, baby Rorschach.
Exactly. Tin roof rusted. And
That's where it's at.
most importantly, this week we have the Rubik's Impossible puzzle cube in, which is the most asshole invention in the history of the world. I don't know why I got this, but now that I have it, I'm kind of delighted by it. It's a regular Rubik's cube. It's made by the Rubik Company, and it literally changes colors in, depending on what light it's in. So it's like the most, it is the highest difficulty level for a Rubik's cube that there is. It's a real asshole of a thing to make.
I don't
Buy it as a gift for someone you absolutely despise.
it.
That's what I'll say. Scumbag number 4 is out.
Oh man, did you see who drew this?
Yes. Why?
It's the guy. Yeah, I don't know. Roland Boschi, the guy that drew the Ghost Rider run for Remender. So it's like
Oh,
a.
that's why. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, like it was cool. Like I love actually one of the delights of Scumbag has been that like the rotating artists.
So weird.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. This one is my favorite so far. I love it. I love it. I think this is my favorite Remender book in forever. And this one is like just crazy. I don't really like trying to describe it seems kind of silly. It's like
Yeah.
James Bond meets drugs, meets like corrupt politics, meets fucking Grant Morrison's multiversity, meets like, I don't know, like a million different things.
Doesn't sound
It's
bad.
great. Love it.
7 to Eternity 16 is out.
Second to last issue of the entire series.
Crazy.
And
I need to get
yeah,
back and actually read it.
holy shit, this is I don't know of a better artist in
There
comics than
just
Jerome
isn't. There
Opeña.
just
There, I
isn't.
don't it's this is like stunningly good. In terms of, and also just in terms of the story, it's crazy the shit that's going down in this. I didn't realize it was the second to last issue until I read this one and got to the end, and it was like, next issue, the finale.
Man,
I was like, okay,
yeah,
interesting that it lasts 17 issues. Yeah. Guess that's how long it took.
Star Wars Dr. Aphra number 7 is out. That's a comic. Stillwater by Zdarsky and Perez is out. TMNT Jenica and TMNT Ongoing, both out this week. We have more NECA stuff. We've got the Toonie Terrors Series 5 with the Evil Ash, the Creepshow Creep, Michael Myers, and Ghostface.
I didn't see those. I had not unpacked
those until after. Sorry.
They'll be in next week's video.
Yeah. Transformers War World is out this week. We've got a bunch of Transformers in this week. If that is a thing that you're into, we have the entire new Bumblebee Cyberverse Adventures figures. All of the new ones are here, including one of the really awesome ones that you can't get any, like, they just didn't make enough of these damn things. The those crazy little Piranicons, they made one for this series, the ones from the movie. I always loved these things, and I was always like, I could never find one in real life as a kid, so I thought it was really cool that these existed. So
nice.
So we have one of those. We got Walking Dead Deluxe number 7 is out. We Live number 4 is out. And it is
cool.
So, like, this book just keeps getting crazier. It was like, oh, okay. I kind of think I know where we're going. Nope, I have no idea where we're going. This one was like lots of crazy, bloody space battle nonsense.
Interesting. I love the art in this book.
Yeah. X-Force number 16 is out, and it is a comic book. Mm-hmm. I did not read it.
I flipped through it. I didn't. It's not a book I am following, but it looks cool.
I usually love it. Like, it's one of the ones that I read with great regularity. I just missed this one. X-Men Days of Future Past, new printing of the trade paperback is out. I don't know how that's a trade paperback. That's two issues of a comic. What the fuck is in this?
Well, they probably included some of the, like, it's got like about 800 sequels, so they probably included some of those.
I guess it's stretched out to issue 141. So it's 138 through 141 of X-Men, and then it's 138 through 143 and the annual. So, okay.
A lot
of it's not Days of Future Past. It's that era plus whatever's going on around it.
Basically, like when John Byrne quit X-Men.
Yep.
In a trade.
wasn't this all John Byrne?
Yeah. He quit after, issue after this.
Yep. That was it.
So it's like his final issues of X-Men.
Yeah, I think literally that is the last. I think that annual must be his last issue, right?
If he did the, I don't know what annual.
I don't know
you
why
mean.
He would do the annual, but so
I assumed it was just like because they did like a bunch of stuff that continued the storyline after it was done, but he did that, and then the issue after it was the first Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
And so he drew that, and then he was done.
Cool. So, if you want a Yo-Kai Watch graphic novel, we have volume 16 in this week. If you want You Look Like Death, Tales from the Umbrella Academy, number 5 of 6, that is a comic book that is out this week.
It is drawn by Ian J. Colbard, who I will shout out for eternity. I love that guy. I love it.
Fair. So those are the things that we have. I'm trying to think if there's anything else of massive interest that is going
on. I suppose
on.
Wrong Earth is not of massive interest, but you got that Wrong Earth, and yes. I've started to read it, and I want people to check this shit out because it's fucking good.
That's great.
It's good.
Cool.
I got that trade. You can order it.
Yes, I think I have one on the website.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Check out the Wrong Earth trade on the web. If you're on the website, if you or if you're in the store, or if you're
Yeah.
ordering stuff to
If
pick
I
up.
didn't put it up on the web, then it is in the store. We definitely got an extra copy of it when I ordered
Yeah,
one
that's
for
cool.
you.
I'll shout out the concept of it, the Wrong Earth from Ahoy Comics. It's like a it's like if the Adam West Batman and the Christopher Nolan Batman switched Earths and then interacted with the people on the various Earths as like that character. Like as a concept, it's really great. I just started reading it. I haven't gotten like I don't know completely where it's going, but I love it. I
Awesome.
love it, and I'm glad you have it.
Sweet. Yeah, I don't think I have much more to add other than you can follow us at Actually Comics, and you could buy things at coastcitycomics.com. And I think that is all I got for you. I
You got
wish I
Funko Pop, salt and peppers.
we do have salt and peppers. We got a new we got We're slowly getting in every one of the killer clowns from outer space. We got Jumbo in this
Ooh.
week, so so we have two killer clowns from outer space currently, and awaiting the third one. And man, I feel like there's news, but I can't think of what it is. It's not very. I don't have anything
The
very
most
exciting.
other thing I was thinking of was that you got those gremlins.
I did. I did get a giant gremlin.
Unless the gremlin has already sold.
He is not. I don't even have him listed on the web. It's almost like I'm trying to not sell him. I have him out back in the skateboarding section, like just kind of standing there. So he's not really. He's just like underneath all the decks. It's not like I'm really trying all that hard to get rid of my gremlin.
Pay no attention to the mention of
Yes.
the
Ignore that gremlin. He's staying here. Anyway, thanks guys for listening, and we will see you next week.
Yes.
Good night.
Bye.
All right. Let me stop this. Do you want to have any questions?